Good morning. My name is Pastor Bob Rudebush. I want to welcome you here to First United Methodist Church, and we're grateful to sing to the Lord a new song as we gather today. Also today, we end our sermon series on encountering the Spirit, living expectantly, and we've been talking about the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, the Great Encounter, the Great Proclamation, and today we're going to be focusing on our commitment, the Great Commitment to following and being disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to welcome those who are also joining us via live stream, and there's a connect card that you can fill out in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, and we can also do the same here in the sanctuary. We invite you to fill out your connect card, and there are great places, many places, for you to connect with the church and be in service as a disciple, so we hope that you'll take a moment to look at the back and check one of those places where you want to be the hands and feet of Christ. So we invite you to fill that out and place it in the offering basket later in the service. Also, there's a prayer card in your pew if you'd like us to lift up somebody in prayer today, or someone you know in prayer. We'll have our ushers be coming around and others to pick those prayer cards up, and then we'll include it in our time of prayer later in our service. We want to also welcome everyone who's a guest and visitor with us. If you're visiting us for the first time, we're very glad that you're here with us. We are grateful for that. We exist here to make disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world, and we do that here at First Church by being a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. So we now share in our video announcement today.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church. We're so excited to have you with us for worship today. Here's a few of the opportunities coming up at First. Our mission of the month for October is the St. Francis House. Through the mission of the month, we hope to provide you opportunities to support various organizations and agencies that serve the community of Sioux Falls. The St. Francis House is an emergency shelter and transitional housing program for the homeless, encouraging long-term goals such as employment, independent housing, recovery, and money management. They are 100% donation funded, so consider giving a special gift this month and pray for this ministry throughout October as we partner with them. We're in need of candy donations for our Halloween bash on Sunday, October 29th. Last year, there were over 300 people who came to this event, and we're expecting a whole lot more. Grab a bag of your favorite candy and bring it to church in the next 2 weeks. Donations can be left at the office anytime throughout the week. Next week, we will begin our new sermon series, Extravagant Generosity. This series looks at the book by Michael Reeves and Jennifer Tyler and how we can practice the grace of giving. There are still sign-ups available for the book study, so be sure to stop at the Information Center to get signed up for that. Our prayer is that God will open our hearts to rethink how we express generosity towards God and each other. Now, here's an important announcement about the in-gathering.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Richardson. First of all, I want to thank everyone for their participation by donating items for our kits, for Encore, doing this noisy offering, and the youth for helping pack the kits, as well as the people that participated in the Mission Cafe and Bakery last weekend. Between the kits and the money that was donated, we raised over $35,000 for Umcor and feeding issues in South Dakota. Starting next year, Umcor is making a change, and so I wanted to let you know about that. They're going to have just school kits and health kits. So for those of you that have been sewing, receiving blankets, I would love to have you sew some school bags. We have school bags that are cut out and ready to be sewn in the office. And for those of you that have been knitting and crocheting those lovely sweaters, if you're interested, we would love to have you focus your energy now on mittens and scarves and hats for us to pass out. And again, thank you to everyone for participating and supporting missions.
Inside your news and events is information about all the opportunities coming up here at First, an order of worship, and a Connect card. We would love to help you get connected here at First. So when the Connect card falls out, fill it out, and then place it in the offering basket later in the service. Now, I invite everyone to stand and share in community by greeting those you're worshiping with this morning.
Welcome to the Sunday worship service at First United Methodist Church at 401 South Spring Avenue in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We're glad you're worshiping with us today. We live stream our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 9:45. Today's sermon title is Live Expectantly, the Great Commitment. Pastor Bob Rudebush is giving the message.
Let us remain standing as we share in our call to worship and our time of prayer together. Will you join me? And they're on the screens together. God of resurrection, we gather this morning as a community of believers. We come with joy to greet one another and to tell again and again the amazing news. Christ is risen. Love is victorious over death. You have given us new life in the name of your Son. May our singing, praying, listening, and proclaiming be a testimony to the power of your love, to make us a new creation as a community of faith. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, even in the midst of the world's pain and sorrow, we can encounter your joy. Show us that such joy comes when we are caught up in the works of mercy and find ourselves unable to distinguish between our blessings and those of our brothers and sisters. Be with us now in our worship time that we may truly celebrate the gift of your light in the midst of your love. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.
Opening hymn, Lord, Speak to Me, number 463, followed by God is on the Move.
Thank you.
God is on the move. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. The power of worship, when we worship together, is not only singing God's praises and having opportunities to be hands-on ministry, the hands and feet of Jesus, but we also gather to give back to God what God has given to us. And so one of the ways we're going to encourage you to do that is we have been praying for students and staff at Lowell, and you might not have had a chance to pick up a pencil, but that's part of our offering, and so we're going to pass the rest of those that we have left through, so hopefully you'll take a pencil with you and take it with you and pray the rest of the year for that student or for that staff person over at Lowell School. They've told us how much that has meant to them to know that our church is praying for every one of those children and staff every day, so please take a pencil as your offering. Not only asking that the ushers would wait upon us as we give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts to God.
To the fire.
As we gather for prayer, we want to recognize some prayer concerns and joys in our midst. Flowers on the altar are from Larry and Judy Zygmunt's 49th anniversary, one of the bouquets, and so we celebrate with them. Yesterday, last evening, we had the wedding service of Leah Irvin and Austin Wagaman, and so we pray for them, as well as our other prayer concerns and joys. And of course, we know of the events in Las Vegas, and they weigh heavy on our society and our culture and our world, and we're mindful also of the family of Joanne Brown, as well as Nancy Vaglin. And so we gather as God's people in this holy place to share in the power of prayer. So let us pray. There are times, oh God, it's just difficult to pray. There's a weariness to our souls. There's a difficulties that we face in life and in our culture. Things that we don't completely understand. And yet today we gather here as your people, calling upon you, inviting the power of your Holy Spirit to help us. We confess to you that there are many times that we fail to be your people. But in the midst of the journey we call life, we pray that you would give us your healing power, that you would give us your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to see the light in the midst of the darkness. You tell us time and time again, O Lord, not to be afraid, but we have to confess that it's difficult not to be. But yet, in the midst of the fear, with your still small voice, speak to each of us. Whisper in our ears that you are there with us, loving us and caring for us. Today we pray for Micah, for Joanne Brown and her family, Nancy Vaglin and her family, Paul and Shirley, Tom and Lauren, and for Sue. And there are many other names and situations on our hearts today, Lord, and help us to experience your overwhelming peace, described in the scriptures as the peace that passes all understanding. God, you call us to be your witnesses, and so we pray that you would empower us and strengthen us to bear witness, even in the darkest moments of life, to your healing power and healing love. Help us to share our story, your story, through the power of your word, for the power of our worship, and the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, who invites us to pray, as he said, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And this time we invite and are grateful for our chancel choir. They're going to share with us, Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Thank you.
Amen. We want to share with you, we have a great opportunity for you to interact with our website. And on the website, we have a place where you can share with us your God story. Now, what we mean by that is we've kind of talked about that over the last 3 or 4 years, talking about how do we tell our God story, or how do we share those stories of God that has intersected our lives. And so we have a forum for you to do that. And so if you go to our website and you scroll down, there'll be a place, tell your story. And so if you click on that, there's a place for you to share those stories so that we can encourage and strengthen one another in telling our God story together. We are now concluding our sermon series on Encountering the Spirit, Living Expectantly. We have talked about the Great Commission, where Jesus told the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, and that Jesus would be with us in that adventure of baptizing and teaching. We've shared in the Great Commandment, where we are called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We also talked about how the world gets turned upside down when Paul, preaching the new good news of Jesus, and in doing so, he's arrested under the claim that he is turning the world upside down, and that we as followers and disciples of Christ, when we present the transforming love of Jesus, turn people's lives upside down. And lastly, we heard about how the great proclamation of bringing God's healing love to the brokenness of our world. Today we're looking at the Great Commandment, and we're looking at a story, really we're looking at a prayer that the early church prayed after Peter and John had been arrested by the temple guard and brought forward to the religious leaders. They were let go, and they came back and told the story to the fellow disciples, and the community of faith just broke into prayer, and so we hear their prayer. After their release, Peter and John returned to the brothers and sisters and reported everything the chief priests and elders had said. They listened, then they lifted their voices in unison to God. Master, you are the one who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. You are the one who spoke by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers gathered together as one against the Lord and against his Christ. Indeed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with Gentiles and Israelites, did gather in this city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and plan had already determined would happen. Now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with complete confidence, with complete boldness. Stretch out your hand to bring healing and enable signs and wonders to be performed through the name of Jesus, your holy servant. After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking God's word with boldness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O gracious and loving God, we gathered here as your people, yearn for wholeness in our lives. We yearn for peace. We yearn and experience the power of your Holy Spirit that moves us forth to be your witnesses in the world. Help us today as we encounter your Spirit once again, that we may truly commit ourselves to being your witnesses and being your people in this world. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to be committed? Now, one of my favorite kind of stories or picture around this, it's one that many people have heard over and over again, but it really is so powerful, it's always good to kind of understand, well, what does commitment truly mean? It's the picture of the pig and the chicken in the farmyard. And they're getting tired of living in the farmyard. And the chicken says to the pig, you know what? I think we should go start a restaurant. Oh, the pig said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I want to get out of this pigsty. We should go start a restaurant. What will we call the place? Chicken says, I got a great name, Ham and Eggs. To which the pig stopped for a moment and thought and said, don't like that idea. Because guess what? You're just involved. I'm committed. You're just involved. I'm committed. Commitment is that intense focus and intention. Intention and focus that we give our lives completely to that activity or that person. The commitment of an athlete to practice and practice and practice to do better in their craft, to the musician, to the student. It just doesn't happen. There has to be a commitment to excel, the commitment to have intention and focus. In essence, we gather and hear today about commitment. Their story begins in really earlier in chapter 4 of Acts. In fact, it goes back to really chapter 2, where we have the moment of Pentecost. You know, you remember Peter and the disciples were huddled because Jesus had risen from the dead. They'd seen him alive, and yet they were still afraid. But then they went to Jerusalem and they gathered the 120, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them as tongues of fire, and they were not afraid anymore. We see how the church began its formation, and it wasn't for afraid at all. In fact, the power of the Spirit allowed them to know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they began to proclaim Jesus in the temple. Now in chapter 4 here, Peter and John are walking through the temple, and there's a man who has been invalid for 40 years. And they say to this man, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And the man does. Now many people see this, and they're just surprised. They're stunned. How can this be? They know this guy has been sitting here for 40 years, and now these two disciples of Jesus, these ordinary fishermen and other folks, they're coming and healing people in the name of Jesus. It causes such a commotion that Peter and John are arrested by the temple guards. They're literally put in jail. The word of this gets out to the rest of the community. I could imagine the fear within the church. Wow, if they're going to arrest Peter and John, when are they going to come arrest us? Peter and John are then taken to the high priest and the religious leaders, and they're asked to explain how this healing occurred. Well, that's all they needed. They began to say that, you know, the one you killed, Jesus, the one we follow, we saw him alive and resurrected, and we're not afraid, and we're going to tell you he's the one that led us to heal this man. Of course, they didn't believe that. And in fact, they had thought we got rid of this Jesus. And here he comes showing up again. They thought he'd gotten rid of him. We crucified him. We buried him. And now they're talking about this resurrection, this new life, this stand up and walk. It says in the scripture that the religious leaders were afraid then of Peter and John because all these people had saw this miraculous event, and so they let them go. They released them. And so they went back to the church, their community, and told them this whole story. And the first thing the people did was to break into prayer. They broke into prayer. And in their praying, they began praying by, we know that you are God, O God. You are God the Creator, the God who brought us Jesus. Through your ancestor David, we have seen places where your word has been rejected, where people don't believe, where people have harmed your followers. in that face of rejection, in that face of fear, they pray for and ask for a spirit of boldness. Help us to speak in boldness. Now, our scripture in CBE says, in confidence, I kind of prefer the word boldness because it means you have to overcome some fear, some places where you're afraid in your lives. I think that happens in anybody that commits themselves, because there's always going to be those moments that when you're in that commitment, do I stop and quit or do I move forward? There's always those experiences in any kind of commitment we make, but especially in our faith in following Jesus Christ and making that commitment, there's always that fear. But God says over again and again, don't be afraid. And so the disciples in this prayer say, give us the gift of speaking your word in boldness. Charlie Weiss was the coach of the Notre Dame football team. And you know, there's always these kind of stories around the Notre Dame football team that are very powerful and life-giving. This particular occasion, they were challenged. They had gone as the team and the coach to visit a young boy who was dying of cancer. And so they asked him at the end of their visit, so what's your request of us? How could we be of help to you? And the little boy said, at tomorrow's game, would you please, on the very first play, do a pass play to the right so that I know that I'm with you and you're with me. Coach said, it's done. We'll do that. That'll be our first play. It'll be a pass play on the very first play. Well, the game happens the next day, and of course, the kickoff happens, and the person who's receiving the kickoff catches it in the end zone, but then fumbles it out into about the 1 or 2 yard line, and that's where they're tackled, and it's a bad situation to say, okay, on the first play, we're going to do a pass play. Because they're deep in their end zone, and the team had heard this story and knew what they were going to do, but they wondered if the coach was really going to honor his commitment to this young man. And Charlie Weiss called the play, and it was the play with a pass play to the right. And they did it, and it got them a first down. And the player, reflecting later on that game, basically said, that was the moment that we knew we honored a commitment. And that just fired all of us up because we made a commitment and we acted on it. Even though it was kind of a fearful thing, it was a huge risk, we acted on it. We made a commitment. We spoke boldly. We lived boldly. These are the experiences of life that help us to recognize that in the believer's prayer, that when we make a commitment to follow God and Jesus Christ, it's more than just being involved. It's making a commitment to be a witness, to make disciples for Jesus Christ. That's what we talked about in the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, it was, we are called to go and make disciples for Jesus Christ, teaching and baptizing them. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always. From there, it's the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. We hear about how the world is turned upside down through Paul's witness. Even though he's arrested and put in jail, he stays faithful to the speaking of the transforming power of God. The great proclamation of that we are called as disciples of Jesus Christ to bring healing to a broken world in the midst of violence that we see in our midst. And that's because of all those great, we are to make the great commitment. The commitment of offering completely our lives to Jesus Christ. Luciano Pavarotti, the great singer, the great tenor, tells the story of when he learned how to enjoy singing. His dad was the local butcher who loved songs but taught his love of music to his son, and of course, he comes on to be this great musician and singer, but he was really torn because he really wanted to go to the university, the academy, to teach. So he was torn between, do I want to teach or do I want to sing? And he says that his father said to him with a great illustration, he said, when you sit between two chairs, you're going to fall through. So son, you got to make a choice. You got to make a decision in which chair you're going to sit. I think that's true for all of us. There comes a point where we're more than just involved. We got to make a heartfelt commitment. Jesus calls each of us, as the disciples of old understood in their own lives, to make a deep commitment to follow Jesus with our whole lives. So today we're going to invite you to offer yourself to come and experience God's transforming love today. So for some of you, this might be your first time to make an actual commitment to follow Jesus. For others, it might be, hey, you know, I've been kind of involved, but I want to deepen my commitment, so we're going to invite you to come. For others, it might be, I've got a place where I've got to have healing in my life, and we're going to invite you to come and receive the powerful oil healing of God's love. Whatever you are experiencing and feeling today, today is a day to make a commitment. And maybe that's just in the pew. I want to invite you to turn in your hymnals to number 354. The song is I Surrender All. The story behind this song is the person who wrote it describes, again, his tussle in life. Am I just going to be involved with God? Or am I going to make my whole life commitment to God and Jesus Christ? As we stand and sing this hymn, I'm going to invite you, I'm going to invite those who are going to help us to come forward now. There will be some folks in the back, there will be some folks on the side, and some down here. I just invite you to come. Renew your commitment to Christ. Offer your life to Christ. Receive the healing power of Christ in your life. Surrender your life to Christ. Let us stand as we sing together number 354, I Surrender.
In His presence daily.
coming to join those in the back, also on the side and the front. We invite you to just keep coming and surrendering your life to God.
To Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender.
Let us pray together. Gracious and life-giving God, You have poured out Your Holy Spirit like a mighty wind and tongues of fire to unleash our church to see kingdom visions, to dream Your dreams, and to prophesy to Your saving grace and justice. O God, revive the power of the gospel in the hearts of our people. Prosper our works and words so that all nations may hear the good news in their own tongues. And boldly, O use me, O Lord. Use all of us without limits, delays, or excuses to be a living praise and witness to Your love through all the earth and a blessing to all creation. Create in each of us an expectant heart, eager to receive Your Spirit gifts and guidance to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose precious and powerful name we all pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. We invite you, following the service, if there are those who would like to stay afterwards, we have our people who will stay and pray with you if you would want to do that. We are grateful that each of you are here this day, especially our guests and visitors. We go forth to be God's witnesses in the world as we make and continue the great commitment in following Jesus Christ. Let us share in our benediction together. God will write a new covenant on our hearts. God will be our God, and we will be God's people. No longer shall we teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord. For we shall all know God, in the name of God, the source of life, the word of truth, and the spirit of love. As the gathered people of God, we are sent forth to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Amen. We sing together Spirit Song.